Hello, Darts fans, and welcome to the latest episode of Inside the Video, the podcast. I'm Tom Beresford, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Sinclair. Hello, Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Well, we've seen plenty of BDO action over the past 4 to 6 weeks, haven't we, Andrew? There's been a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously started off with Lakeside, and then we've kind of got the ball rolling since then. Obviously, we weren't able to record after Lakeside and Q School. Schedule didn't really allow for it, but pretty good tournament all in all, Lakeside, really.
Yeah, it was a great tournament, and a great tournament, especially for Glenn Durrant now, three-time BDO World Champion, one of the very few players to win it three times consecutively.
Well, yeah, it's just him and Bristow, so real marker of his quality. And then we saw Glenn go off to Q School, and whilst he didn't quite get it done in the manner most expected him to do, he got the tour card that everyone really predicted he would do, and now he's on the verge of kicking off his pro tour campaign and playing in the Premier League.
It's been an absolute whirlwind of a probably 4 to 6 week period. I spoke to Glenn just last week, actually, and from all the emotion of getting through the week, all the expectation on his shoulders of becoming the three-time world champion, because he has been under pressure the past 5 years, but going into Lakeside, he's been the heavy favourite. There was that game with Scott Baker where Scott came from 3-0 down to level 3-all. He got through that. He managed to beat Scott Waits in the final. Then he's got 48 hours to get over that and get over to Wigan to enter Q School. The first 2 days were a bit patchy, as you'd expect from what he's just achieved and what he's been through. But to get through in the last 2 days the way he did, he got to the final on day three, and he had a patchy moment against Matthew Dennett, where Dennett missed 3 darts at 32 to beat him. Gets his tour card. But even better news this Monday, he gets selected to play in the Premier League in Glasgow just this Thursday coming up. It's been an absolutely amazing time for Glenn.
Credit to him, and we wish him all the best. And Glenn wasn't the only BDO player to pick up a tour card at Q School. Obviously, Mark McGeaney managed to do it, get it automatically. Scott Baker, who you just mentioned, picked one up as well. They were also joined by Conan Whitehead, who got his through the Order of Merit. Matt Clark, who played a lot of BDO events last year in the top 65. Carl Wilkinson, who was top 50, he picked one up as well. And then Darius Labanowski has got one at the European Qualifying School. So there's been a lot of shake-up in the BDO. And on that note, with the rule changes and the rankings and so on, Durrant, McGeaney and the others will not be expunged from the BDO's official rankings anymore, as they would have been in the past. But when I post, or we post, ranking updates for our Twitter account, as we did after the Dutch Open last weekend, I'm not going to include PDC tour card holders, because my logic is they're not going to play on the tour, and therefore I'm going to produce a ranking sheet that's of everyone who is playing.
Yeah, so let's just do a quick rundown of the latest up-to-date BDO World Rankings, Andrew.
Yeah, so if we go for the men's top 10, in 10th you've got Chris Landman, 9th Wayne Warren, Wales, 8th recent Lakeside finalist Scott Waits, in 7th Dave Parletti will be joining us later on the show, Gary Robson is in 6th, Scott Mitchell in 5th, Michael Unterbuchner in 4th, Wesley Harms 3rd, Richard Veenstra is now up to number 2, and Jim Williams is the BDO number 1.
So obviously since Lakeside and Q School, we've had the Romanian Classic and the Romanian Open. It was a great tournament in Romania. It was live streamed on YouTube. Dave Parletti winning the Romanian International Darts Open, and John Michael winning the Classic.
Yeah, and the John Michael win was the one that really caused a lot of controversy and got people talking, because it was the first tournament we'd seen in the new 2019 year, not the new season, as I mistakenly tweeted, but it was the first time we'd seen a PDC tour card holder playing a BDO event. It got to the stream stage, and John Michael still played and won the tournament. The big controversy afterwards, Jeffrey Spiridons was one of a number of players who said, oh, it's not fair, he shouldn't be allowed to play in the tournaments, whatever, he's taking points away from me. And it brought up a big debate, but, I mean, it's quite simple, really. John Michael registered before he got his tour card, and he was given dispensation by Barry Hearn and the PDPA to play the Romanian tournaments. And at the end of the day, it's not up to the BDO to regulate who plays where and who plays when. It's up to the individual darts bodies. So if the Romanian organisers are happy for him to play, then let him play. If England darts aren't happy to let people play, which they said they won't, I know in the Isle of Man, tour card holders aren't eligible. Or in the Dutch Open, where Jelle Klassen was one of a few who couldn't play in the pairs, that's fine. But each darts organisation needs to make its own rules or make its own decision on what they're going to allow. And we saw in Romania, John Michael was able to play. And to be honest, he played quite well. He beats Baradans 5-3 in the semis and then beat Telnica 6-5 in the final in a really high-quality game, both of them averaging over 90. So, yeah, I mean, John was the talking point from that first tournament. But then your mate Dave really brought up the goods in the second final in the men's competitions.
Yeah, it was a great win over Gary Robson, but the match was in Gary Robson's hands. I mean, Dave went 3-1 down, then he got back level at 3-all, went 4-3 ahead, and then Gary Robson produced some great legs, moved the 5-4 up. He's got 3 darts at tops for the win. Dave pings double 12 to force a deciding leg, and he takes out 50 to complete the win and sunk to his knees. And it's been a great year for Dave, great 12 to 18 months, and he's delighted with the win, and it really has kick-started his year. He was disappointed after Lakeside because he didn't really show quite how he can play, but Krzysztof Kaczuk played very well. But for Dave, it was a great confidence-boosting win, and he was absolutely delighted. I'll be chatting to Dave later on in the show.
Yeah, I kind of did feel sorry for Gary Robson, though. He was the top seed for both of the men's competitions. In the Classic, he got blown away by Dirk Telnikers. Dirk hit 5 maximums in a very comfortable 5-0 win. He then came back on stage less than an hour later, played Simon Stainton in a fairly scrappy game in which Robbo came from behind and hit 3 ton-plus finishes to win. And then, obviously, he had match darts to beat Dave, and Robbo's now gone more than 2.5 years without a title on the BDO Tour, which you consider how well he played throughout 2018, the fact he's now 6th in the rankings, and his last title was the England National Championships in 2016. You got to feel sorry for Big Robbo, who also didn't have the best Lakeside. For me as well, I thought Simon Stainton played really well. I thought he had quite a deliberate action, but it was quite a nice one. And obviously, Lincolnshire County player, he'll be playing a lot of the Tour this year, so it'll be good to see him kind of a more regular fixture in the latter stages of tournaments. And we saw 2 good women's finals as well, Tom.
Yeah, we sure did. Just touching on Gary Robson there and his year last year especially. I think it's been his best year for quite some time without winning a tournament, which shows that he's got the consistency throughout the event. He's reaching the latter stages on a consistent basis, but do you think it's sort of when they're streamed as well, when you get to a final, it's on a stage, it's streamed, do you think he just gets that final hurdle, doesn't he, and just can't quite get over it in the minute?
Yeah, I think he does. He's not a great stage player, and also Gary's not a big scorer. So in big tournaments where you are a seed and you can get a favourable draw, it's very easy to kind of plough through the field. But then when you get to the tougher games, Gary's often come up short, so he lost in a lot of finals last year or semi-finals. But in Romania, Dirk Telnikers was absolutely brilliant against him in the semi-final, blistering scoring that Robbo just couldn't hang with. Simon Stainton, the game with him, it was a low-scoring game, and Robbo capitalised on his mistakes. And against Dave, they averaged very similar, and Robbo did have match starts, but he never really felt like he was going to take them. But again, consistently getting to semis and finals means over the course of the year, you tot up the points, and it's the consistency, as you said. So I'm sure a title won't be far away for Robbo, but if he keeps playing the way he's playing, he'll definitely be among the top seeds for the World Championship next year. And just to recap the women's competitions, in the Classic Open, Karolina Podgorska won 5-3 over Margaret Sutton in the final. And Sutton recorded her first win over Diet Hedman in the semi-finals, and I think it was like 15 matches. Hedman would get to the final of the Romanian Open, having beaten Podorska in the semi-finals, but she came up short against Eileen de Graaf, losing 5-2. But though I thought it was really good darts from Romania, the stream took a while to get going. There was a lot of odd things going on, people winning Carlsberg goodies and all that kind of stuff. But it was good stuff, and it was good to see kind of the first big European tournament of the new year streamed. And we had, I mean, we had more streaming than we could deal with at the weekend with the Dutch Open, which was a brilliant tournament, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's the obviously the largest singles competition in the world, and it was a fantastic event, the 2019 Bauhaus Dutch Open. I really enjoyed it, and we spoke about Dave Paoletti, and that confidence from the Romanian Open win certainly projected into the Dutch Open because he reached the semi-finals.
Yeah, Dave played tremendously all weekend, to be honest. And it was great that we had so many streams. The pairs were streamed on YouTube on Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday morning, all of Saturday and Sunday morning was streamed on YouTube before it moved to Dutch National TV on Sunday afternoon. But Dave was brilliant. He beat Daryl Fitton. He beat his good mate Nick Kenny in the quarterfinals. Great to see Nick Kenny get a good run in a big tournament after he had quite a poor 2018 by his standards. But yeah, Dave looked great. And he came up against a player in Ryan Hogarth who had one of the best weekends of his career. And to be honest, Ryan, at the stage of that game, looked like he was never going to miss. So it's a shame for Dave, but massive performance from him again. Got him up to seventh in the rankings, as I said. And all that's just going to build confidence for him. And he's certainly a player to watch over the next year.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that Ryan Hogarth game with Dave. It was probably one of the best games I've seen on stage because, especially in 2018, Dave got to a lot of the stage matches and got a bit of stage fright, it's fair to say, because there was games of Scott Mitchell, Kyle McKinstry, but saying that, he ran into players who were banging in 100-plus averages. But the game with Ryan, at one point in that game, he wasn't missing. His set-up shots were superb. I remember a couple of 1-5-9 visits to leave a double. But Dave never went away, and even though Ryan was 2-0 up in the deciding set, Dave managed to force it to a decider. I remember Dave was in a commanding position in the opening set, and Ryan Hogarth banged in a superb 140 finish, and that really did kill Dave because he missed three darts at tops just prior to that.
Dave, again, will benefit from that experience, but I was so pleased for Ryan because, like Dave, Ryan didn't do himself... He didn't do himself justice at Lakeside. He really seemed to struggle against Oliver Ferenc of Serbia. Never really got his scoring going. It took him ages to get a dart at a double. In the Netherlands, he was brilliant. He beat Rick Hofstra, a former World Masters and BDO World Championship quarterfinalist. He beat Scott Mitchell in impressive fashion. He beat Michael Unterbuchner, who again is one of those big players to watch. And then he beat Dave before going on to the final against Richard Veenstra, packed in 3-ton-plus finishes and 2 maximums, and gave a bloody good account of himself, so I'm really pleased for him.
Yeah, it was a great performance in the final from Richard Veenstra, 3-2 victory. And once again, he wins another big BDO title, and he really is producing the darts now, and it can't be far off it before he's in the world number one spot, in my opinion. He's been brilliant, but he is hot and cold. He has got an erratic action where he throws very fast. He's a really heavy scorer as well.
Yeah, Richard was very good in the semis against Jeffrey van Egdom, and he was very good against Ryan Hogarth as well. And I think the most important thing to note with Veenstra is before Richard would blow very, very hot or cold, in that, we'll see, some tournaments are one day, very long tournaments, a lot of games, a lot of kind of moving about, not knowing when you're playing, on for ages, off for ages. And often, Richard was just as likely to go out in the first round as to go out in the semi-finals. Because once he started going, he was brilliant and very hard to play, but often it took him a long while to get going. Whereas you saw a tournament like the Dutch Open, where he played throughout Saturday, played a number of games, had to play a number of games on Sunday as well, the consistency was there throughout, and he always looked like he was one of the better players and one of the ones to watch. So if he can add that to his game and add the consistency, he is on his day one of the very best players in the BDO, and he's only 9 points behind Jim Williams now. I mean, that's largely a product of Jim not playing the Dutch Open whilst he takes some time off. Jim is coming back in the Scotch Open and stuff. But yeah, I mean, Richard's going to definitely be one of the ones fighting out for that top spot this year. And it was a good tournament and all. Saw some good runs for some players, sort of Wayne Warren getting to the quarterfinals as well. And obviously the ladies' tournament was a talking point again, with Mikuru Suzuki winning her second title in less than a month.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And you speak of rankings, she's flying up the BDO rankings at the moment.
Well, she's up to 30th in the latest ladies' rankings. But bear in mind, she has 147 points from 4 tournaments entered. She's won Lakeside, she's won the Dutch Open, she got to the quarterfinals of the World Masters, having started in the last 272, and she won the Japan Open, the only ladies' ranking title in Asia. I mean, what an incredible addition she's been, not just to the ladies' game, but to darts in general. Watching her at Lakeside, her performance against Lorraine Winstanley in the final, and seeing what she did in the Netherlands, not just winning the ladies' singles title, but also winning the pairs as well. She is a special, special talent, and if we get to see more of her over in Europe during the year, well, we're the lucky ones, to be honest, because she's a special talent, and she's really going to raise the game for everybody else.
Yeah, and I think this is only the beginning for Mikuru Suzuki, and just going back to the men's singles, it was great to see Daryl Fitton back in the latter stages. He reached the last 16, of course, he lost to Dave Parletti.
How great was that to see Daryl back over a year out, come back, first tournament back, and he's playing some of his darts of old, getting to the last 16 on the stage. Yeah, his game against Dave wasn't the highest scoring game, but I mean, that's already 21 points to his credit, and I mean, Daryl's already signed up for a couple of tournaments kind of in the coming weeks, and it's just so good to see such a kind of an iconic figure of the BDO game over the last kind of decade plus, really, kind of back playing again. And the same goes for Wolfie as well. We saw Wolfie get to the last 64, and Dean Winstanley as well was another one. Dean got to the round 128 where he lost to Wolfie, but interview with the Lorraine Winstanley later on the show, we talked about Dean, and Dean's planning to do most of the tour this year, and to see Dean Winstanley get somewhere back near his best would be wonderful to see after everything he's been through. And it was just a cracking tournament, as always. You've got to give credit to Anthony Dundas, who was MC for the weekend, the refs, Nick Rolls, Marco Meyer, and obviously all the Dutch scorers and stuff. They did a terrific job. You had a lot of journalists and stuff there who were doing some great updates. The team at Dart Freaks did a really good job. But to be honest, it was so professional, great production values, and I want to see more of the same for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the earlier stream, the one on YouTube, where you had there was a stand full of people watching, the boards were all open so you could sort of walk around and have a look, and the stream quality was excellent. I know they didn't have commentary provided in the early stages before it went to live TV, but the stream was an excellent quality, and we speak of the players who reached the latter end of the tournament. I personally think the Saturday is the hardest thing to get through. To get through to the last 64, the biggest men's singles event in the world, and I think all the graft is done on the first day, really, in my opinion.
Oh, it's so many games, and it's such a long day as well, because you have so many players. It is a proper grind, and I think someone who impressed me with his staying power on that Saturday was Adam Smith-Neill. Obviously, we talked about him a lot in the run-up to Lakeside, whether he was going to be fit enough. Played at Lakeside on a crutch and was nowhere near his best, to be honest. But to see him, given that he's still not fully fit, playing that Dutch Open and getting through the entirety of Saturday, I don't think he dropped a single leg getting to the last 64. I mean, he did then lose in the last 64, but be honest, credit to him, because that can't have been easy. But yeah, great tournament, and I'd love to see those values installed in the rest of the tournaments this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I think there's one player who played well in the Dutch Open, or I can see playing well if he continues to play steel tip, is Tony Martin. He was involved in a great game with Scott Mitchell, just lost out 4-3, but Tony was playing some really good stuff over the weekend.
Yeah, Tony's a weird one, because he's kind of flitted between steel tip and soft tip, and he's not committed to steel tip in a long time, but he looked terrific in the Netherlands. He played in Romania as well, and actually in the Romanian International Open, beat John Michael 4-1 in the last 16 and was given it large by all accounts when he beat him. So, and Tony is signed up for both Scotland and Slovakia, which are the next two big BDO competitions. Two competitions in Slovakia this year. He's signed up for both of those, plus Scotland. A lot of points on offer there. Tony's already started to rack up the points, so if he plays well in them and plays as he's been playing, and racks up a good amount of points and can get himself into maybe the top 100 of the rankings, or top 128 gets you to the World Masters. If he can do that, that might persuade him to try and do the tour this year, and it'd be great to see him maybe at some of the big BDO tournaments this year, maybe even the World Championships in 2020.
Yeah, speaking of up-and-coming players, another player, Laura Turner, had a great weekend at the Dutch Open.
Yeah, in a ladies' tournament where some of the big names all went early. Lorraine Winstanley, Lisa Ashton both went out in the round of 128. Laura played some of the best darts I've ever seen her play. She played with real confidence, and she got to the semis. Which, to get to the semis of the Dutch Open is absolutely massive. Such a big competition, especially for the ladies as well. You've still got about 500 ladies in that competition, which is far, far more than they get at any other tournament during the year. And it was a very high-quality field. And she got to the semis, and now, in the rankings, because of that, she's just 1 point off the top 10 of the ladies' rankings. I'm really pleased for her. I thought she played tremendously well. And if she can keep that up, she will be right amongst it in the top of that ladies' rankings by the end of the year. And any memory she had of her debut at the World Championship will be long in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, we spoke about Dave Parletta earlier in the show. I managed to grab a chat with the Surrey-based star. Here it is.
Hello there, Dave. Again, we seem to say, and thanks again for agreeing to come on Inside the BDO, the podcast, for a second time now. It's been a great past couple of weeks for you, Dave, making your Lakeside debut. But let's just start with the weekend. You won the BDO Romanian International Open in Bucharest with a great victory over Gary Robson in the final. It was a great event for you, Dave. Your fourth BDO ranking title, but again, it was streamed over the weekend, so you can use that to give you more confidence moving forward, because in the stream games before, you've run into the likes of Scott Mitchell and Kyle McKinstry, and it hasn't sort of worked out for you, but you really did have to dig deep in those semi-finals and that great final with Gary Robson. The final with Gary Robson, I must say, when it got to about 3-1, 3-1 down, got it to 3-on. I think that sixth leg was so crucial. A 12 dart leg as you took out 87. But when Gary had the darts for a 6-5 win and he's got three darts at tops, what are you thinking? You stood behind him and then he misses those. Then you hold your nerve together and finally hit that winning double. You played some brilliant darts in patches and you must be absolutely over the moon, mate. And all of us involved here at Inside the BDO, the podcast, want to congratulate you on a fantastic win.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's been a great couple of weeks playing at Lakeside. Obviously, the result didn't go my way, but it was obviously a dream of mine to play there. Went into Romania. Confidence wasn't overly high, if I'm honest, but just funny how darts is, isn't it? You know, you turn up and, you know, on the day, you just play well, you know? So everything, the prep, I had an early night, the Saturday night, because I got a bit of a flu, so I woke up early and went for a practice early, and yeah, everything seemed to click on the Sunday. I rode my luck in the final, but I mean, as you said, I've been on the end of one-leg shootouts with Kyle, Mark McGeaney, and Scott Mitchell over the last year, and I've lost going into the last leg as well. So it was nice to get one, you know, go my way for once, so... Yeah, no, I was chuffed to bits to win it. So, you know, it's nice to start off the year with a win under my belt.
With those tournament wins in 2018, Dave, especially the Wolverhampton events where you reached both finals, winning one and losing the other final. I think it was Scott Baker you lost to in the other final. And Mark Clayton, I think, was the other final you won. But what did those tournament wins in 2018 sort of help you moving forward, because you've always got to say the latter stages of the BDO events, but to win so many in 1 year and to sort of get over the line so many times and push the world's best players like Scott Mitchell, is no mug, he's regarded as one of the best players in the BDO, Kyle McKinstry, a fantastic player with a massive talent, went to PDC, obviously. I think he's doing the Challenge Tour and what have you. I don't know what his plans are for this year. But you're pushing these guys constantly. And now with Glenn Durrant and Mark McGeaney, obviously, moving on now to the PDC. Jim Williams moves up to number one. So it's a new test for you. And I think 2019, you're improving 5-10% each year. And 2019 it could be a big year for you, and like you say, you've got off to a near perfect start. But with this, with the floor tournaments being so short in format, I mean, you've pushed people consistently. The Glenn Durrant, I bet you're sick of the sight of him. I bet you're glad to see the back of him now. But yeah, you've moved in confidence year after year, and 2019 a fantastic start. And just sort of how you felt when you hit the double 16 to take the 50 out after Gary Robson had missed those match darts in the leg previous to that. Just explain how you were feeling at that time.
When you get to like the latter stages of tournaments, the more you play in them, the more confident you get and more relaxed when you're playing, I find. But with Glenn and Mark and Scott and Conan gone, I mean, it opens the door for a lot of players to push higher up in the rankings. So, I mean, it's going to be a good year. I mean, it's going to be very competitive, I think, as well. Also, there's a lot of players coming through, younger players, you know. So, yeah, no, I think this year is going to be an exciting year. All you've got to do is just stick to what I've got to do, and, yeah, hopefully it goes well. Yeah, no, when it got to 5-all, I thought, yeah, I've got half a chance here. But before that, I mean, Gary was hitting everything. I think he hit about 6 180s in that game. But, you know, he had a couple of slips, then let me in. And, yeah, when I was on for that 50, if I'm honest, I went with something I see Rob Cross do. He stands back and takes a breath, composes. So I thought to myself, if I've only got 2 darts, I think Gary was sitting on 104 or something like that. So I knew he was going to have a shot. So I had 2 darts at a double, so I thought, look, just relax. And then, you know, like I said, sometimes it goes, sometimes it doesn't. Like you said, I played Scott in Wolves, and in that game I was 5-2 up and I lost 6-5. So, and I missed match darts. So sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, as I said, yeah, I was just relieved to win that one, if I'm honest.
Can I just cast your mind back, Dave, to the Lakeside, making your debut, of course, at the 2019 BDO World Darts Championship. Although it was a defeat on your debut, you did produce some fantastic darts at times in that first round, in that preliminary round match with Christoph Kachuk. That 140 finish being the highlight to take the set. Quite an unorthodox way of going for the 140s, or treble 20, treble 16, double 16. And that was to win the set, and that really pumped you up and got you going in the game. But did the break come at the wrong time for you?
The 140 was a highlight for me as well. But the break, I went back in, I was buzzing, and the crowd were going mad. And, oh, mate, I couldn't even describe that feeling. It was brilliant. But when I got in the back room, I didn't know what to do. I was just pacing backwards and forwards. And, I mean, I think I'll learn now for next year, you know, with experience on, I'll learn how to cope with that situation. So yeah, it was really good to be there, but obviously not the result, but you can only learn from that and hopefully get better.
Yeah, and obviously, Dave, last time we spoke, you was so excited about making your debut at Lakeside. I know you brought a lot of your friends down. It must have been so good to have so many people you're so close to there supporting you, and like you say, when that 140 went in, the roof just lifted, and it was a fantastic shot. But the break came at such an unfortunate point. But Chris, fair play to Christoph, he played very consistently and he played very well himself. He's got to take some credit for that. But the way, again, with the way you bounce back, you've kicked off 2019 off to a winning start, and it can only get better, because in previous years you've sort of not come out the traps the way you have. You've sort of run into Glenn Durrant or some of the other top boys, but you are regarded as one of the top players in the BDO. And with that victory in Romania, that lifts you up to number 8 in the BDO rankings. I remember when Jamie Hughes won it a couple of years ago, and look where Jamie is now. That kick-started his career in the BDO, went on to win the Find the Darts Masters. But Jamie pretty much really underachieved. And I see a lot of Jamie and you, Dave, because you've been on the circuit for a couple of years now. You've won your 4th BDO ranking title and you're moving up and up all the time. You're improving. Number 8 in the world now. So that's not to be mocked at all. You are regarded as one of the top boys in the BDO now, and that must please you massively.
But the next step for you is obviously getting more ranking titles under your belt, qualifying for all the TV tournaments. That must be the next box to tick, really.
Yeah, as you said, like, Christoph played really well. Like, I had my best mates there as well. I was gutted for them, and because, you know, they travelled from all over the country to come watch me. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, it was an experience that, you know, I can only learn from it now and put it right next year. Jamie's, yeah, he's gone from strength to strength. I mean, yeah, that's really nice of you to say. You see things, similarities between us both. Obviously, I've got a bit more hair than him. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to keep my feet grounded. I'm not going to look too much into the rankings because, I mean, towards the end of last year, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, Grand Slam pace. And, you know, I started thinking about that. And then that's sort of when my form dipped, you know. And so I think this year, I'm you know, I've got a great sponsor in 180 and they're helping me out and giving me advice. And everything's in place this year for it to go right. All I've got to do is just, as long as I put the work in, the practice, and, you know, my work's good and I've got a good manager who's giving me time off for it. So as long as my health stays well and, you know, touch wood, you know, I'm just going to keep focusing and keep moving forward. The only way is up, as they say.
Yeah, speaking of that, of health, Dave, we spoke some time ago about what happened back in Prague. We spoke about it a few times, to be fair. But looking back, those 35 days you were stuck in hospital, not in a good way at all. Did you dream of just over a year later that you'd be making your debut at Lakeside, you'd be in the run for a Grand Slam place, you've won the Romanian Open straight away in 2019? Kudos to you, Dave, for getting up, dusting yourself off, working hard on the practice board, as well as holding a full-time job as a postman, playing county and all that. You're a dad, of course. And just all that put together, all that what your family went through, and the way you've dusted yourself off and kept yourself grounded, really, and got yourself back to where you should be. The UK Open you played in, I think it was 4 or 5 straight UK Opens as well. I know your good mate Daryl Pilgrim is there with you for a few of them. And just looking back, Dave, as a fan and as a pundit, a guy who studies your game quite a bit, I'm really proud of what you've done. And 2019 looks good without looking too far ahead. You must be so confident going into the Dutch Open at the weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought a year ago I would have had this much success. But, I mean, like I said, I've got good people around me. I've still got to see the surgeon every couple of months and have tests and that. But, you know, life goes on. You just got to keep moving forward and hoping the next day will be better.
Been looking at a young lad called James Beaton, who you know about. A young lad from Chester, I think he's only about 15 or so. He's been doing the JDC and he started the BDO tour now as well. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I know James. Yeah, I know him very well. I've roomed with him a couple of times as well. Yeah, he's a good lad. He's come on really well over the last 7 months. I see him in Romania, funnily enough. I had a little chat with him, but we were both practicing and he was throwing well. So yeah, no, he's definitely one to watch out for. There's a few young players in the BDO, you know, that are coming up as well. Obviously, you've got Nathan Gervin, but there's also like Jack Vincent as well, who's playing on the men's side now. But he's really young. I'm not sure of his age, but yeah, he's a cracking player as well. So yeah, no, looking forward to the Dutch Open. I've never done it before, but you know, I think there's like 3,000 people are registered for it. So yes, it's going to be a good one.
Now, Dave, on Sunday you went on to reach the semi-finals of the Bauhaus Dutch Open. That must have exceeded all of your expectations because, like you said in the previous first half of the interview, you were saying that you've never played this event before, you didn't know what to expect. You know, there's a lot of entries. There was 3,700 entries in total. And to go on to reach the semi-finals and go within a leg of reaching the grand final, you must be ecstatic. There were some great moments in there. A great 4-1 victory over Daryl Fitton on the stream. And then you went on to face your best friend
Nick Kenny won that one 5-1, very convincing, and it must have been very difficult to play your best friend Nick Kenny. And then the semi-final against Ryan Hogarth, you got off to a, I wouldn't say a slow start, you was, you fired in some great scores, got ahead in the opening set, and then that 140 finish from Ryan Hogarth, when you missed three darts at tops after hitting a 140, when you was on, I think you was on 118 at 140 to leave tops, and you missed three at tops. He took out the 140, that must have been an absolute killer. But overall, look at the weekend, Dave, and you must be absolutely delighted with how you've got on, especially just 7 days after winning the Romanian Open.
Yeah, man, I'm over the moon with the weekend's events. It was a long old day yesterday. I think I had to play like five games, and today, same again. I played some good players before I met Daryl, and then obviously, yeah, playing Nick. He is my best pal on the circuit, so yeah, that was difficult doing that, but I mean, yeah, on the stage was unbelievable. It literally was, I think it was about 2,000 in the crowd, and it was noise, and I couldn't stop smiling, mate. It was incredible. Obviously, the result didn't go my way, but you know, sometimes it's not meant to be. So Ryan's a top player anyway. I knew he's more than capable of taking out big finishes. I remember him taking out a 170 against Gary Robson in the World Trophy. And Gary Robson done a similar thing, if I remember. He hit a 180 and then Ryan hit the 170. So yeah, that didn't surprise me at all. He's a class act. So yeah, I mean, got some good points in the bag. So yeah, I'm more than happy with the way things are going at the moment. New darts, new practice regime. So yeah, nice. Everything seems to be falling into place well at the moment.
So it's been quite a week for you, Dave. Obviously, this time last week, you were crowned the Romanian Open champion. Which was fantastic for you. And then just 7 days later, the semi-finals of the Dutch Open, the biggest singles tournament in the world. Just reflecting on that, it is huge. And you were seeded 11 at Lakeside, I think it was 11. And within the space of a couple of weeks, you're now up to number 7 in the BDO World Rankings. That must be quite flattering for you. The 7th best player in the BDO. That's just at the minute as well, and there's only been a couple of tournaments in 2019, so the rest of the year you'll just be looking to go from event to event to try your best and see what happens. But it is very exciting for you as a player. I mean, you've showed great composure this weekend. You were very unlucky against Ryan Hogarth, who produced some, I think there's one time in the match where he wasn't missing, he was going 180, I remember the 159 setup shot, and he just wasn't missing. And to go from a set down to force a decider, you were 2-0 down in the final set. He came back to force a decider. You're sat on 68, he's on 78, and he takes it out with one data double. Just reflecting, Dave, it's been quite a 2 weeks for you.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, to be honest. A lot of travelling. I mean, at the moment, I'm literally sitting in a car on the way to Germany with Mickey and Buckner. So, yeah, it just seems to be non-stop at the moment. But I mean, yeah, being up at number 7 is flattering, yeah, I would definitely agree with that. There's a lot of good players in the BDO, but I must be doing something right, you know. I turn up to the comps with the same mentality, just same preparation. As long as I put the board time in, then yeah, it seems to be going well. Unfortunately, when I played Ryan, and it came down to that one leg, you know, and on reflection, I was thinking, all about the ball up at the start, and yeah, he wasn't missing anything. So I mean, he's a great player. You know, one dart in his hand to get into a final shows the class of the lad, and he's a Scotland international, so he's been there, done it. It's all a learning curve for me, I think, being on stage, and I think that's what let me down at Lakeside, because it was all kind of new to me, the lights, the cameras. But I think this year, if I keep my head down and keep doing what I'm doing, you know, I think I'll be a lot more seasoned, shall we say, for next year.
Over the past couple of years, Dave, you've obviously qualified for the UK Open via the Riley's UK Open qualifiers. I think it was 3 or 4 years on the trot you qualified for it. Is that something you're going to be doing in 2019, maybe going to the Riley's Victoria UK Open qualifiers and having a crack? It's certainly changed in recent years. It's called the amateur qualifiers, but all the players that went to Q School who didn't get the tour card are going, and it's not really got that amateur feel to it anymore. There's all the top players who didn't get the tour card are sort of going to the UK Open qualifiers. I've seen Robbie Green was at one recently. He didn't get even qualify for the tournament. That just shows how strong it is. Wes Newton won the event in Chorlton in Manchester. Scott Taylor, who's a former PDC tour card holder, he won a PDC a Riders qualifier in Chester over the weekend. So is that something you'll be doing?
I don't think I'll be able to go to any UK Open qualifiers this year. I think the only one I'm available is Liverpool. So, and then if I go to that, there's another weekend. If I qualify, I'd have to go for another weekend away. I think I'm away with the BDO like 26 weekends of the year, so I need to have some time with my family and that, so, and the kids. So I probably will give it a miss. But yeah, I did just see Wes qualified. So as you said, yeah, a lot of top players who are not in the Order of Merit, they're going to it now. But I mean, you never know, in the future I will try and get there again.
So next up for you, Dave, it's the BICC County Weekend. And then the following weekend we have the Scottish Open. The Scottish Open is yet another huge event. Not quite in comparison to the Dutch Open, but there's over 1,000 people in the Scottish Open. Is that a tournament that's always stuck in your mind? Are you looking forward to it? I know that Diego Portella mentioned that he may be playing in the event. You know Diego quite well. You've practiced together a few times. Is the Scottish Open event you looking forward to?
Yeah, I've got a trip to Cumbria next week with Surrey, so that's another lot of travelling. And then I think it's, as you said, Scotland, and then there's Slovakia, and then Isle of Man. So I'm super busy at the moment. I've had mixed feelings about Scottish Open. I've gone out really early. I think the first time I went there, I made the quarterfinals and got spanked by Danny Knoppett. But I think the following year, I think it was like second round to Jay Foreman. Yeah, and then last year I lost in the last 64 to Chris Fiddler, I think his name is. So yeah, I mean, it's a great comp and there's some great people up there. But I mean, as I said, I don't go into any comp thinking I'm going to win it. I just sort of just turn up and I think as long as I play my darts, someone's going to have to play well to beat me. So yeah, I'll definitely be there and I'll just have to see how it goes. But yeah, it's a great tournament, I must admit. And if you do make the stages, it's just as mental as the Dutch Open, to be fair. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the next few weeks ahead, to be honest. Yeah, thanks for having me on and thanks for the continued support, Tom. It means the world. I'll speak to you soon, buddy.
So, Andrew, bouncing around the world is a new topic we're talking about as you sort of recap from the action around the rest of the world.
Yeah, so obviously the main focus of the BDO Tour for all of us is Europe, because that's where the most tournaments are, it's where the biggest points are on offer. But in our attempts to cover all the action from the British Darts Organisation and its various affiliates around the world, I thought it was great if we could cover the action that's been in America, Canada and New Zealand this year, because we've had a lot of tournaments. So everything started in January. The first tournament after the World Championship at Lakeside was the Las Vegas Open, category C competition for both the men and the women. In the men's competition, Robbie Phillips won, beating Sean Brenneman of Canada 6-5 in the final with a 78 average. In the semi-finals, Phillips beat Norman Madu, and Sean Brenneman beat Tom Sawyer, former Lakeside qualifier. Darren Young, Joe Chaney and Larry Butler all beaten in the quarterfinals, whilst the recent Lakeside qualifier, Captain America, Jim Widmeyer, lost in the last 64, 4-1. Pretty good tournament all in all in Las Vegas, really strong entries. The winner of the 2018 competition, Kevin Luke, he hit the highest three-dart average in the tournament in the last 64. He averaged 109.3 in a 4-0 win, but then he'd lose in the next round 4-3, averaging about 74. So Kevin produced some good darts, but not great darts. But in general, good performance from him, good performance from everyone. Well done to Robbie Phillips. He's booked his place at the World Masters. So yeah, good stuff all round. And in the ladies' competition, the 2018 winner Paula Murphy lost in the final this year, being beaten 5-3 by Sandy Hudson. Action then moved on. The KW Tri-City Open in Canada, where Bill Crawford defeated Darren Allen in the final. It wasn't the highest quality Canadian field, all fairness. Obviously, you had Dave Cameron, Adam Steller, Kylie Edmonds. A number of the top Canadian players played at Q School in the first Challenge Tour weekend, so weren't available. But Sean Brenneman, Las Vegas Open finalist, he lost in the semis, was someone I know you are quite fond of and know fairly well. Jim Long, he got to the last 16. In the women's competition, Cindy Pardy won that one, beating Kim Whaley-Hills in the final, whilst Maria Mason, a former Lakeside qualifier, was beaten in the last 16. And in the final jaunt of bouncing around the world, we go to New Zealand for the Canterbury Classic, which was a Category D competition. It was good to see for both the men and the women's competitions in Canterbury that the entries were up on last year. You had 35 players in the men's tournament this year, as opposed to 29 last year, whilst the ladies' field grew from 11 in 2018 to 14 this time round. In the men's competition, Darren Herawini, who beat Glenn Durren at Q School this year, he beat Mark McGrath 6-4 in the final. And in the quarterfinals, Herawini beat Mike Day, who's a two-time Lakeside qualifier. So good stuff from Darren. In the ladies' competition, Desi Mercer retained her crown with a 5-4 win over Judy Fenton. So good stuff all round. And throughout February, there's a lot of events in America, so I'll be trying to keep on top of those. And thankfully, a lot of them are on Dark Connect, so it's a lot easier for me to follow. But yes, good stuff all round.
So, Andrew, the newly elected BDO chairman, Des Jacklin, has been making a lot of comments recently. Potential moving the world and taking tournaments abroad, increasing the prize money for the women's competition has been a big forefront in his look forward to the future of the BDO. Sort of, what do you make of that?
Well, it's kind of weird to call him newly elected in a sense, because he's obviously been there a while now. But yeah, he said a lot, and that worries me in a sense that he said so much, but we've yet to see kind of anything. And obviously, I mean, it's only what, the 8th of February recording now, and obviously there's still a lot of time to come, and he's making all the right noises anyway. As for moving tournaments abroad, I'm all for that, and moving the World Championship away from Lakeside, I'm all for that. Lakeside obviously has a history and a reputation, but you can't live on nostalgia alone. You need to make sensible business decisions to ensure the future of the BDO and ensure the best tournament possible for fans, players and TV viewers. A lot of players this year were struggling at Lakeside with the heat on the stage, saying it's worse than it's been in previous years. So maybe they're going to move it to, I know the O2 Indigo in London has been talked about as a venue, but also suggestions they might take it up north, maybe to the Midlands, or even maybe the Northeast. I know he said that a former Premier League football club, now in League One, had asked about taking one of the BDO majors, not the World Championship, but probably the World Trophy, I would have thought. Given Des said he thought they were still in the Premier League, I'm assuming it's Sunderland, which, I mean, the North East is a darting hotbed. It's fairly easy to get to for players from the North West, Manchester, Liverpool, as well as kind of further south, like Yorkshire and so on. That'd be great. The BDO needs to do more to grow the game. So taking it to venues where you're going to get a good attendance is great. But take them abroad. We saw how popular Dutch Open was, and you talking about the stands for people watching what was basically like the last 2,000 games. People watching them, and it's being streamed on YouTube. Why not take the World Masters to the Netherlands? And why not take the World Trophy, perhaps, to Japan? I know Paul Nicholson suggested that during Lakeside. Why not? Why not try and grow the game? BDO maybe shouldn't be trying to compete with the PDC, but it's got to do things to make itself relevant. The PDC haven't taken a major to the Netherlands yet. They haven't taken a major to Asia. Why not? Do it. Grow the game and make the BDO newsworthy for the right reasons.
You know, mentioned about the ladies' side of things, about extending the maybe upping the prize money. I think that's a big idea for Des. It's certainly something that needs to happen, though, isn't it?
The ladies' prize money is a joke, to be perfectly honest. No, the ladies don't get the same level of entries as the men. But you saw at Lakeside, Lorraine Winstanley got to the final and picked up $5,000. She would also have got $5,000 for hitting the highest checkout of the week. She could have lost 2-0 to Casey Gallagher in the first round, won one leg all competition, but hit a 170, and she would have walked away with $5,500. That's a total joke. You see how much the men's tournaments get, and to be honest, I think the the ladies do deserve more. 100% they deserve more. So yeah, it's great to hear him say it, but it's not just the World Championship where the ladies need more money, it's every tournament. They deserve more equal prize money. Well, not necessarily equal prize money, but they do deserve better money. And that goes for the World Trophy and the World Masters. So yes, more money for the ladies. And on that note, that was one of the key themes when I spoke to Raymond Stanley earlier in the week. So have a listen to that. We are now joined by BDO Ladies World number 4 and recent Lakeside finalist, Raymond Stanley. How are you, Lorraine?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You're up to 4th in the rankings now after the Dutch Open at the weekend, but the singles tournament didn't really go to plan for you, did it?
No, I had a bad day in the office. A really bad day. I just couldn't find the fight. They weren't going. The harder I tried, the worse it got. So I'm not beating myself up too much about it. We're all entitled to a day off every now and again, and I'm hoping that was one of the very few bad days at the office.
But it wasn't an all bad weekend, though. You got to the pairs final alongside Corin Hammond, but came up a little bit short against Mikuru Suzuki. You must be getting a bit sick of the sight of her at the moment.
Do you know what? We were both... I was laughing with Corin because we were both like, I can't believe that we've played so bad. Again, couldn't find it. And neither of the Japanese girls were particularly speedy, if you like. And it's very hard in pairs to find your natural pace. So you throw a bit quicker and they don't go. So you throw a bit slower and they don't go. You can't find that rhythm. So, yeah, we both really struggled with that and found it a bit embarrassing, really. But we got to the final, so we're happy that we got to the final.
You played Mikuru, and her winning at Lakeside was one of the stories of the year, really. How big do you think her win, and her specifically, will be for the growth of the ladies' game?
We don't know what the future holds, but I'm hoping that that'll certainly... bring along bigger and better things for the ladies and opened up a whole new market, really, over into Asia. Obviously, we know that the darts is really popular out there, both soft tip and steel tip, and it's a long way for people to travel from that area to over here to compete in the majority of the tour, so it would make it difficult for the Asian players to get a place at Lakeside just purely on the rankings. But you never know, hopefully by Mikuru winning, it opens up a door to that side of the world, which would be great.
Another set of doors were opened for the ladies with the PDC's decision to add ladies to the World Championship last year, and by Des Jacqueline and the BDO to remove the restrictions. And you are one of several ladies who went to Q School and really broke new ground for the women and made a massive stride. How was Q School for you?
Q School was a brilliant weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed it. A whole different ball game. So professional. And it is something that I have wanted to do for a few years, but obviously, like you say, with the restrictions being in place, not been able to. And I thought, I knew I would do it at some point, but I thought my only opportunity would be when I wasn't really bothered about chasing ranking points for the BDO World Championships. I thought I would probably do it perhaps towards the end of my career. And it was brilliant when the restrictions were lifted, because I could only speak for myself here, went into that under no illusion. I had no intention, no ambition to get a tour card. I purely wanted to do it for the experience and doing it for the girls, really. You know, Barry opened 2 spots for the ladies in the World Championships, like you say, and it's not a way of saying thank you, but it's a way of saying, do you know what, we're serious about darts and we've parted with our money, we want to be involved. So that was the biggest reason for me personally. That's why I was there, but I had a fantastic time.
So when did you make the decision that you were going to go? Because obviously Lakeside was a tremendous tournament for yourself. You got to the first final.
well, your first final, should I say, and you beat Anastasia, your good friend, for the first time in four attempts at Lakeside. Did you make the decision before the tournament or
that
after?
That was my final. that in itself was massive for me, because we meet each other on the floor quite often because of the way the seedings fall sometimes, and I win sometimes, she wins sometimes, and people don't necessarily see that. They see the big tournaments where we're on stage, and yes, like you say, the previous three attempts, she'd got the better of me. So for me to win that game was massive. So it was a fantastic experience to reach the final, and although I was devastated that I lost, if you'd have said to me at the beginning of the week, you'll make the final, I'd have snapped your hand off.
It was a tremendously impressive run from yourself. And for reaching the final, you picked up £5,000. But that was the same prize pot that you would get for hitting the highest check out of the week. Does that frustrate you?
Yeah, of course. Going into the Worlds, you've always got it on the back of your mind that if you lose first round, you're going home with £500. We travel all year to get to that stage. So hopefully, Des has made a statement saying that he's wanting to improve the ladies' prize money. I do think we certainly deserve more, especially when the men's prize fund, you become men's world champion, and that is 3 years of a decent day-to-day job wage.
Yeah.
You know, you win the ladies, and that isn't a decent one-year wage. And there'll never be equality because the basic maths just doesn't sum up. You know, you've got however many more times men entering competitions than you have women. And if you've not got the entries going in, even though we pay similar amount of money to enter the tournaments, if you've not got the numbers going in, you can't pay it out. So it's never going to be equal, and I would never be one that strives for equality, because I know it can't happen unless you've got somebody with an endless pot of money to throw at the ladies' game. But it certainly would be nicer if the gap was bridged a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the ladies' prize pot is tough, and it's a tough slog for a lot of the women. And you, like most of the women on the tour, I think, in fact, all of the women, you don't have, darts isn't your full-time career. It's not possible for it to be your full-time career. So how do you balance your home life and your children and working alongside the tour and trying to pick up points, defend points?
I never stop. I never stop. 'Cause I've got my own business, and I have to... I have to say thank you really to my clients, because they're all very understanding that they know that they'll get me in the salon on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, where being in the industry that I'm in, primarily your busiest time is weekends. And they've all adapted to me not being there at the weekends because they all support me. They're all dead excited when they know I'm going to be on TV. Oh, let me know what time, what day, what channel, you know. I'm very lucky in that respect, but the prize money doesn't pay the bills. Me going to work pays the bills, so it is all a bit of a juggling act, you know. I'm lucky that the salon's shut on a Monday, so I do try and get home on a Sunday where I can, just to give me that day to turn the washing round before I go back to work, because chances are Thursday evening or the following Friday I'm going back out again, you know. So yeah, it is difficult to juggle it all. And I will do it for as long as I possibly can, but we're not getting any younger.
You talked about the prize money, and obviously that is something that needs to change. And it's not just the World Championships. The standard of the ladies' game has come on so much, and you all deserve a lot more money. But another thing that's been mooted that should change in the ladies' game is the length of the matches.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great feeling going up and winning 2-0. Because you think, yeah, thank God that's over. But if you're a set down, it's cutthroat. It is absolutely cutthroat. So by elongating the format would just give you a little bit more time to settle in and give everybody a bit more of a fairer chance, really. Yeah, it definitely needs to be longer. Even if it started at best of five and had best of seven in the final, I'm not saying we want best of 11 sets or whatever.
Yeah.
But certainly by elongating it slightly, would definitely make it better all round, I think.
At Lakeside, as he's been in many tournaments in the past, your husband Dean was sat there seemingly kind of throwing every dart with you in the crowd. You recently celebrated your wedding anniversary with Dean. Congratulations on that. How important is he as a support to you, having been to the Lakeside World Championship final before, hit a 9-darter on the TV, been a PDC Tour card holder?
It's really important that he supports me. And really, going back to your previous question, when you're juggling the home life and everything, I'm lucky that he knows what it's like because he's been there and done that himself. So he knows what it means to me. If he wasn't, if he hadn't been a dart player or wasn't still a dart player or didn't understand in any way, shape or form, it would be very difficult for me to be away at the weekends because he works full time now and he's about very little during the week. So we would never see each other. So it's nice. One, it's great that he's starting to play again and we get our weekends together again, which is lovely. And I need to know that he's supporting what I do and because it makes my job easier. But yeah, he throws every dart just like I throw every dart when I watch him play. Because we've been stood in those shoes, we know what emotions are running through your mind and your body. And I think it probably makes us a little bit more sympathetic with each other. But it also gives us the right to go, do you know what? I can tell you where you went wrong and whatnot. And when he's there and they aren't going, I can look at him and he can tell me where I'm going wrong. If you know what I mean. Yes. And it's nice to have that face to be able to turn to, and it's even nicer that it's my husband.
Obviously, Dean did play at the Dutch Open at the weekend and lost to Wolfie in the last 128. How much of the season is Dean hoping to play this year?
He's hoping to do the majority of the BDO circuit this year. And it was like a child with a new toy at the weekend. He was so pleased with the way he played, and of course he'd got mega bragging rights that he was in the competition longer than I was, so he really relished that. But yeah, he's found that buzz back and the wanting to play and the competitiveness. It's great that he's sort of wanting to play more and more, and like I said before, it's lovely because we actually get to spend a bit more time together. So
you, another big opportunity for you was the Challenge Tours a couple of weeks ago. You played in the first two. How was that experience for you?
Again, like the Q School, I loved every minute of it. I would have liked to have done both days, but it was our wedding anniversary, so I thought I best not push it too much. So Dean said that he would take me to one of them, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. They're very, very long days. They're draining days because if you go out early in the first one, you've got a lot of sitting and waiting around until the next one. So actually, to do both days over the weekend is a hard slog. But yeah, again, professional situation that you're playing in, and didn't feel out of place. And I enjoy playing against men because it's what I've always done. Before I did the tour and I realised I could sort of play darts, I used to take myself off to local tournaments where there weren't women's tournaments. You were thrown in with the men. So I actually enjoy playing against the men. And I think looking at my stats over the weekend of both Q School and the Development Tour, I played some damn good darts. And it was found it a real confidence boost for me.
You certainly did play some exceptional darts at Q School. I think that the one headline result everyone was talking about was when you beat John Parr. How was that?
That was brilliant. I mean, I've met him before, obviously, and Dean's played him before too. And I just thought it was a weird feeling, really, because we were playing against the fellas. I wasn't nervous. I was excited. And for me, that makes me dangerous. And I just thought, just you're playing John Parr, just keep your cool, just keep your cool. And I just tried to keep us as focused and as calm as I possibly can. Inside, I was absolutely dying. But I just trying to keep calm. And when the winning double went in and I turned and shook his hand and I just said, can I just say what an absolute privilege it is to play you? And he just turned to me and he said, I didn't actually play that bad, did I? I'm like, no, you didn't. You certainly didn't.
You were one of the several ladies who did the ladies' game. Tremendous service over both at Wigan and at the Challenge Tour. So you should be immensely proud of yourself.
Yeah, I am very, very proud of myself. And again, it's sort of given me a whole new bit of excitement in my belly and a bit more fire, because there's more, not that I've really got any spare time to do any more than I do, but there's more on offer and it is a different situation to play in. And it's, it's just given me a bit of a buzz back, I think, which I was perhaps lacking a little bit. So
that's interesting to hear. Because obviously you ended 2018 very well. You picked up titles in the Czech Republic and Northern Ireland, and then obviously got to the final at Lakeside. So you would have thought that you were absolutely buzzing and chomping at the bit.
Well, I was, but this has just given me a whole new bit of fire. So not that it worked at the Dutch Open, but it's there, it's in there. So I love the game, and I've said as long as I love it, I will continue to play. The moment I stop loving it, I'll put my darts away and I'll never play again. I only like doing things that I'm relatively good at. I shy away from things that I'm not. So whilst I'm pretty good, I think I'll stick with it.
With the Challenge Tours, there's quite a long gap until the next weekend. Is that a source of frustration for you, or is it something to look forward to?
Definitely something to look forward to. But at this time of the year, it's quite nice that there's a bit of a gap because it's so busy on the BDO tour. Obviously, we've got the Scottish Open coming up next week, and then the following week, I'm going to Slovakia for the first time. I didn't go last year, so that again, that's a whole new experience. And then we've got the Isle of Man coming up, and exhibitions in between. So life is very busy. So it's not too bad that there's a bit of a gap, because if there were quick fire at this time of the year, it would mean that I wouldn't be able to do as many as I'm hoping to do. So the fact that they are a bit more spaced out allows me to be able to go to them.
You said that you were signed up for Slovakia. I had seen your name amongst the entries. But kind of beyond that, what is the plan for you this year? What do you want to achieve in 2019?
For this year, I've said on previous interviews and whatnot, I love playing for my country, so obviously would like to be back in the England team. So hopefully, I'm sure the selectors will be in touch soon to let everybody know whether they're in or not. I've never played in a World Cup. I've done the British Internationals, I've done the Europe Cup and the Six Nations, and I've never played a World Cup, and obviously it's the World Cup this year. So I would like to play in that. So that is one of my aims for this year. Obviously, try and pick up as many titles as I can throughout the year, but generally just keep a really, really good form. Even though I'm guaranteed back at the World Championships, I still want to be one of those top seeds. I can't sit back and go, do you know what? I'm back anyway, so I'm not going to bother, because I don't want to be drawing one of the top seeds first round. So I still want to go into that as one of the top seeds. And also, like I've said for years, my ultimate ambition is to be world champion, whether that's next year, the year after, or the year after that. I can be quite patient. I'll wait until it comes along. But that is my ultimate ambition.
Now, I'm sure that world championship is not far away at all. But it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and best of luck for Slovakia.
Oh, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed talking to you too.
So, Andrew, another huge talking point in the last few days, actually. The England squad has just been announced, and there's been a lot of controversy over this, especially Dave Parletti, who I spoke to earlier. He was he's not been included in the England squad. There's a social media has been in meltdown, especially on the Inside the BDO page. Has been an outrage as to why Dave hasn't been selected. What is the criteria we ask for the England squad? Well, it appears that no one seems to know, really.
Oh, it's a total... I'm going to say it's a total bloody joke, to be honest. And I know you were very, very fired up about this at the time. And I think the biggest issue here that me and you have both seen from talking to players and seeing what players have had to say is no one's got a bloody clue what's going on. No one knows what you have to do to qualify. Dave was told when he was ill that he needed to pick his form up and play more tournaments. And then when he's played more tournaments and won more tournaments, he's being told that he's not averaging high enough for county. But you've got people on that team who aren't playing many county games at all. And you've got people on that team that don't actually do the BDO tour. And like Martin Atkins, for example, the Wigan Martin Atkins, did the full PDC tour last year, played Euro tours, played Challenge, not Challenge, well, did play Challenge tour, but he also played Pro Tours. How is he eligible? I don't understand how they've picked these guys. It seems to be perfectly honest, they make the rules up as they bloody go along. And it's really annoying, and it's annoying for the players, because if they don't know what they've got to do to qualify, well, what are they doing during the season? Because does it matter if I play for county? Does it matter how well I play for county? Or should I just go out and play darts and have a name and then I'll get picked? Dave was the one that annoyed me, but there are a number of players, really, that should have been in that squad as well.
Yeah, I did actually speak to Dave about it, and he was quite upset that he wasn't selected. Not for the people who select the team, but, of course, of what he's achieved since his illness. He's upped his game. He's got to 7th in the BDO rankings, which isn't totally relevant with the EDO selection committee, but he should be in there for me. As a lot of people saying on social media, he's probably the second or third choice pick behind Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you look at the EDO rankings, Dave's in the top 10. There seems to be no rhyme or reason for people being picked in that team. And that's not to disparage any of them. They're all good players, and I'm sure they'll do England a great service. But the bigger problem here is there is no clarity on how you get in that team in the first place. No one knows what's going on. I don't know how they've got in there. You don't know how they've got in there. And bugger me, the players don't know how they're in there or why they're not there.
I'm going to throw another name in the hat now, Alan Edwards. I'm absolutely baffled as to why Alan's not in the side.
Well, he's, what, third in the rankings? He's well up there in terms of county averages. I think this isn't the first time Alan's been overlooked. And it's not like Alan's he's got a reputation. By all accounts, he's an absolutely lovely bloke. So I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And I will say this now. If any one of the selectors who picked that England team wants to clear things up and wants to tell people how that team was picked, come on this show. I'm happy to talk to them. You'd be happy to talk to them. We could talk to them together. I don't mind. But please tell me how you've picked that team. And the problem is going to come if in those the British internationals at the start of April, if England win, you know that straight away the EDO are just going to come out and say, oh, see, we were right to pick the team anyway. Well, that doesn't help. Like, Scotland, Wales, the Netherlands all have clear criteria for how you get picked. Why can't they do the same?
So very quickly, I'm going to run through the England men's team. Martin Adams of Cambridgeshire, Martin Atkins of Lancashire, Martin C. Atkins of Yorkshire, Daniel Day of Essex, Kevin Dowling of Warwickshire, Dennis Harbour of Cambridgeshire, Mick Haynes of Cheshire, Nigel Hayden from Warwickshire, Paul Hogan of Berkshire, Paul Milford of Devon, Scott Mitchell of Dorset, and Wes Newton of Lancashire. Now, let's quickly move on to the ladies' team. As we spoke about Laura Turner earlier, I know she was also quite disappointed that she didn't make the team.
You look at the top 10, and again, we know the BDO rankings aren't anything to go by, but the six ladies who have been picked are all in that BDO top 10, and we're in that BDO top 10 basically the whole year. I had no problem with the ladies' team selection at all, to be perfectly honest. It was the men's that didn't have any real sense behind it.
So, yeah, it's Casey Gallagher of Sussex, Trina Gulliver, MBE of Lincolnshire, Dieter Hedman of Oxfordshire, Maria O'Brien from Devon, Fallon Sherrick of Buckinghamshire, and Lorraine Winstanley of Yorkshire. Now we've got the two youth sides, the boys and girls. 13-year-old Leighton Bennett has been picked for Yorkshire, for the England side from Yorkshire. Keelan Kay of Glamorgan, Mitchell McCarthy of Bristol, and Brad Phillips of Hertfordshire.
Again, I think there's a lot less debate when it comes to the youth sides. It's not really a problem there, to be honest. But it's that men's team that doesn't make any sense. And that got not only me fired up, it got you fired up. And it got, like, big-name ex-pros fired up. You saw Dave Wickham and Martin Adams were in our mentions saying that they don't understand how the team was picked. And to be honest, they've not understood how it's been picked for years. So I reiterate what I said. If one of the selectors would like to come on and would like to talk to me or you and explain why people were picked, we'd be more than happy to talk to them.
I agree. And in the girls' team, it's just Bo Greaves and Shannon Reeves who have been selected. Another young lad who I've been impressed with, especially at the Dutch Open, was young James Beaton. He went on to reach the final. James is from Chester, the same area as he plays in the same team as Tony Martin.
Yeah, I think he can count himself unlucky not to have been picked. But you are far more of an expert on the kind of youth darts world than I am. So I think, yeah, he can feel slighted. He definitely gave a good account of himself at the Dutch Open. But talking of the Dutch Open and the youth, I mean, you saw that boys' final, the under-14s final. Crikey, those two lads. I mean, one of them looked about eight. But to be honest, both of them, astonishing standards of darts for that age.
Yeah, we seem to see it in Holland all the time, though. I remember seeing Justin Van der Hauw at like 11 years old and really, really short, and he was fantastic. I remember him winning tournament after tournament. Where Jeffrey Desvarne is a youngster in the Zuiderduin Masters. It's just littered with talent in Holland. Owen Roloffs as well. There's so much talent. Michael van Gerwen, of course, from a very young age. But the Dutch, everything about the Dutch Open from start to finish was absolutely superb.
Yeah, no, it was just a terrific tournament, and across all levels as well. And it was great to see the youth ladies, the youth boys, the under-18s, and everything. Just cracking stuff. And yeah, big tournament. But the big tournaments keep on coming as we head to Scotland next weekend.
Yeah, and there's been some controversy again about some of the PDC guys entering. I've heard about Diego Portella, Jamie Cavan, Cody Harris attending the event in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, technically they're all free to play. There's no restriction on any of them. And for guys like that, more the merrier. You see the amount of people that went to Q School this year and the amount of people playing the Challenge Tour. My criticism has always been, we'll play the BDO Tour as well. There's the opportunity for you to do well. And it'd be great to see Jamie Cavan in a BDO event. It'd be great to see Cody Harris, Diego Portella, all talented guys. And it would be great to see them. I know the Scottish Open played at a venue that really is marmite for a lot of players. It's not really anywhere to sit or whatever. So it's not very popular with some, but some absolutely love it. So it'll be interesting, and Richard Veenstra will be looking and hoping he can retain his crown, having won the tournament last year by beating Gary Robson in the final. But yeah, really good lineup. All the BDO big guns are there, as we said, Tony Martin as well as the PDC boys you mentioned. And also, I'd like to give a shout out. I was at the UK Open Riley's qualifying Greenock last weekend. And a lot of the blokes that were there, I got chatting to, are playing in Scottish Open, sort of my neck of the woods, next weekend. Big shout out to Sean Ryan from up north in Scotland. Really, really talented player. Played on the Challenge Tour before. He lost to Mark Birilli in the last 16 in Greenock. But to be honest, I think he would have won. If he'd not played Mark, I think he probably would have won the whole thing. He was brilliant. Callum McCleary as well. He had a tremendous action. A really, really nice action. So for him, just more exposure, more consistency. He's a player to watch as well. But cracking lineup in Scotland. More than 850 players are registered now for the men's.
Yeah, it's such a huge event, Andrew, as well. It's there's always so many entries there. there's so much talent in Scotland. I mean, William Borland, he's another name that's went to Q School and didn't get his tour card. He's in the same management stable now as Daryl Gurney, and I'll be excited to see how he gets on as well.
Yeah, young William's a real talent. I think came to a lot of people's attention, kind of a broader range of people's attention at the World Trophy last year, the BDO World Trophy. Did a cracking job there. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly one to watch. He's quite big up here. Scottish exhibitions, he's often picked to kind of be one of the Scottish representatives. I know he played, I think it was James Wilson in an exhibition last year and really gave him a run for his money. He's a real talent to watch. And the other Scot who qualified for the World Trophy last year, Ryan Hogarth, he'll also be playing, and he'll, after his performance in the Dutch Open, he'll be one to watch. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And it's a good field for the ladies' competition as well. You've got over 120 entries in the ladies' competition, so should be a cracking lineup. You've got kind of all the big guns there: Lorraine, Anastasia, Lisa Rashton, Dieter Hedman. All the big ones, Fallon Sherrick, all the ladies' big guns, and it should be a really, really good tournament. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think on the subject of players who didn't get the tour card attending BDO events, I think it's a case of the more the merrier. It's going to make it a lot more competitive as well for the guys who are going to go on to win the event. They really have to earn it, because these players, I think it's great for the opportunity that they can mix it together. And you spoke of the Riley's qualifiers there. Mark Barilli, I believe, qualified in Greenock, and he will be at the Scottish Open.
He did indeed. Mark played very, very well all day, to be honest, which was slightly surprising for a number of reasons. But Mark was very good, and he will be there. He will indeed be there, and he'll certainly be one to watch. You look at the guys who didn't get a tour card. I mean, you think of someone like Robbie Green. I know he's got his, kind of, he's still recovering from his issues with his knees, but he I'd love to see Robbie Green enter some BDO events. I'm not saying they have to do the full tour, but why not? Why not play in the England National Championships, the Welsh Masters? I mean, Robbie's near to Wales. He definitely could play in some of those Welsh competitions later this year. Really, really nice. And I tell you, someone who I am looking forward to see, just going back slightly, in the ladies' competition, Ros Bulmer is signed up to play. And what an inspiration that woman is. Fighting cancer, not for the first time, but the second. She did herself so proud at Lakeside. And I don't mean that in a patronising way at all. I genuinely mean that. And she'll be going up to Scotland, and I know wholeheartedly I'll be rooting for her.
Yeah, and as the guys may know, we do commentate, as well as away from the podcast, we do commentate on the Icelandic darts events, and there's quite a number of Icelandic contingent at the Scottish Open. Þorgeir Gudmundsson amongst them.
Yeah, I think it's 12 Icelanders who are signed up now, which is sort of a reflection on the fact flights from Scotland to Iceland are quite cheap, and geographically they're very close, but it's great. It's great to see them. I think they're one of the biggest cohorts there, I think, and I may be wrong, I think there are more Icelanders in the field than there are Dutchmen. Which, considering what darts is in the Netherlands, where it basically amounts to a religion, that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, we really are looking forward to the Scottish Open so much, and I have been watching over the last couple of years. They do the stream, but they seem to do it at the latter stage of the tournament, maybe the quarters and semis and the final. Have you heard more about that?
I think it's the same plan as before, to be honest, with regard to streaming. I know fans can go along on the Sunday. I think hopefully we can get the stream, but I think this is what I want. This is what I want to see most weekends, to be honest. I want to see the event streamed, because I was quite critical of the BDO for this last year. They do not do enough with their social media. It's far too inconsistent. You saw they were very active at Lakeside, and then there was absolutely nothing until the Dutch Open. They were publishing articles on their website about the Gwynedd Open and Romania and Robbie Phillips getting the win in Las Vegas, but none of that emerged on the Twitter. All it takes is sharing an article. It doesn't take long. The players and the fans deserve better, and for me, that is more streams. And that's something you need to work, that the BDO need to work on as well. It's all good having all these grand strategies for the future, but you need to, you can't, I mean, it's very easy for me to say this because I'm not the one in position of responsibility, but there is a lot that needs to be done, and the social media, the streaming side of things, is the one that needs to be catered for. But they should be streaming in Scotland, and I think if neither of the two gentlemen progress to the latter stages, Scott Mitchell and Gary Stafford will be in the comms box in Renfrew if neither of them get to the quarterfinals, which both men are more than capable of doing. Gary's a former semi-finalist in Scotland, and obviously we all know what Scott Mitchell's capable of.
And of course, this weekend, Andrew, is the latest instalment of the BICC County Darts, and let's just run through a couple of the fixtures this weekend from the top four tiers of the BICC. In the Premier League, Glamorgan play Yorkshire, Hampshire play Lancashire, Northamptonshire play Lincolnshire, Warwickshire are at home to Essex, and West Midlands host Cheshire.
Some really good fixtures there, and I mean, obviously the county will have a big eye on it this weekend, because we'll all be looking at the county averages, we'll all be looking at who's playing, because, you know, these are the people who are going to get picked for England, so we need to be paying attention.
And in the first division, we've got Devon versus Dorset, Hertfordshire host Nottinghamshire, London play at home to Cambridgeshire, Oxfordshire versus Cornwall, and Sussex versus Gwent. In Division 2, Cumbria host Surrey, Gwynedd play Suffolk, Humberside against County Durham in a local clash, Kent versus Worcestershire, and Staffordshire versus Berkshire. And just moving on to Division 3, Buckinghamshire host Northumberland, Cleveland against Montgomery and Radnor, Derbyshire against Gloucestershire, Merseyside host Somerset, and Norfolk play at home to Wiltshire.
I love County Darts, and it's great to see, and we've got a full slate of fixtures this weekend, as you've just wonderfully gone through. So be a lot of results to kind of look out for, see who plays well. And obviously the first Players' Championship weekend of the season, we know Warwickshire will be out without Ted Evitts, who's been one of their best players. Nigel Hayden will be leading the line for them. Suspect Adam Smith-Neill might be playing for Warwickshire as well, although I might be wrong on that one, especially with his injury. But I think great stuff, and I'm sure that either me, you, probably you, we'll be covering the county darts over the weekend, and we'll be posting some stuff through our Twitter account, keeping people updated. And the only tournament I think BDO themselves are running this weekend, it's the Camellia Classic over in Sacramento in America, which is a new competition. But great slate of county fixtures. It's great to see the game in such a good place.
Yeah, I for one will most certainly be looking at the averages. I mean, the last BICC weekend was absolutely terrific for averages. I mean, Lincolnshire, there was so much talent there. Leighton Bennett played for both the B and the A side and averaged 93 and 95 respectively. This kid is just 13 years old.
He's astonishingly talented. And Leighton will actually be in the main men's draw for the Scottish Open. So it will be very interesting to see prodigiously talented youngster gets on amongst kind of the big boys and veterans of the game. Just terrific, terrific stuff. And he's scarily talented.
Yeah, and over the last BICC weekend, of course, it was 4-ton-plus averages. Scott Mitchell topped it with a 105.48 for Dorset. Glenn West of Norfolk with a 104.85, which was very impressive. Callum Wilson of Lincolnshire with a 101.91. And Ian Jones of West Midlands with a 100.2 average, which is, of course, just 15 darts per leg.
Right, I mean, in January, Leighton, when he was playing for the Lincolnshire B team, averaged over 95. And as you say, the kid is 13. And he was 13 in December of last year. He's only just 13. It's not as though he's almost 14. No, he is just 13. The future of darts is in a very strong place, which means that I won't have to sort of come out of my semi-retirement and get back down the pub throwing me 55 averages.
Yeah, I think the youth of the game is so important, and the JDC is certainly helping that. I know England Darts have got their own youth Grand Prix going on throughout the year, but yeah, the JDC has helped a lot, and it's great what they're doing. I know Leighton won Lakeside, and then 2 days later he won the opening JDC Tour event, which was brilliant.
And I'm sure he'll be playing in the rest of the JDC events throughout the season and just trying to play as much darts as possible. And there are, as you say, with the JDC, I think they're really leading the way in terms of just giving these kids great exposure. And it's also the way in which the game is changing. I made a joke there about the pub, but it's very true. You look at the past eras of darts, the guys that came on the scene got into it because they were playing darts down the pub, or their mum or dad or their brother or their sister played darts down the pub, and they went down there and started playing. And that's how he got into it. I know in the last episode when I spoke to Dan Day, he was saying it was because his mum was good at darts and she used to play for the pub team. And that's how he got into it. And obviously, alcohol used to play a massive part in the sport. And that is very much changing now. You are seeing these kids at a very, very young age. They're just playing darts as a profession. And they know now that darts can be a livelihood. It doesn't have to be a hobby anymore. It very much, you saw how much Michael Van Gerwen won. I mean, you saw how much Glenn Durrant won for winning Lakeside. He won $100,000. That's a lot of money. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much money in the game now, and the players are just becoming more and more professional from a younger and younger age. And it's quite scary, in a sense, that Leighton Bennett is 8 years younger than me. I'm not that old, but that makes me feel very old indeed. But yeah, just darts is in a tremendous place at all levels of the game, and I actually think the BDO is in a good place for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, if you look even further back as well, I remember Eric Bristow saying that he first got into his darts with his dad down the local boozer, and it even played for money back then. They just played for money down the pub, and it took off from there. I know Rob Cross played down the pub with his dad. And his uncle actually got him out of bed to go to the Riders qualifier in Norwich, and he hasn't looked back once.
No, I think it is much more professional. And you've heard Bobby George, I think, is another one who's talked in interviews before about how you made darts more of a career than it was, not only by working on the side, but also playing in pub competitions for money. You were going up and down the country playing pub competitions, increasing the quality of the field to try and get a bit more money. So you could just win more money throughout the year and create more of a name for yourself. And obviously, darts now is moved just beyond the confines of the game. The PDC is growing all the time. I think there's 30 players' championship events this year. You've got the Challenge Tour, you've got the Development Tour, you have the JDC. You have lots of non-ranking events. Obviously, we've just seen the Masters, the BDO. You have stuff like the Gold Cup, which is a great outlet for county players. And the Gold Cup's one I'd love to see back on the tally. It's a cracking competition. That's a topic for another day. Exhibitions as well. The exhibition circuit in darts is enormous now. You saw it was the recent Master of Darts competitions across the Netherlands, in the Czech Republic. I know Beau Greaves was playing in that one. Was it Mikura Suzuki she played? Glenn Durrant is playing big exhibitions in Germany, the Netherlands. Oh, it's just, there is so much money in darts now. And hopefully, the more players that enter BDO competitions with reduced restrictions, the more prize money will be in those competitions as well, and then the BDO can be in a position to grow. The prize money at the World Championship hasn't changed in 6 years. So, as long as the game is in a good place, which I genuinely think it is, and there are more and more opportunities all the time, it's a great time to be a darts fan. It's a great time to be a player.
Yeah, I think quickly before we do go as well, just reverting back to the BICC County weekend. I mentioned Glenn West as well there, who averaged 104.85. When Jamie Hughes played for Warwickshire, I went down watching them a few times, met the team. And there are a lot of players, Andrew, just play county and county alone. They don't enter any of the BDO competitions. They sort of find their level at county and average in the hundreds, and they are definitely capable enough of entering a Riley's qualifier or a BDO competition, but they they just play county and county only. There's quite a lot of people up and down the country who just play county.
Yes, I mean, that's very true. I mean, you look at some of the names, like Paul Milford, for example, plays for Devon, doesn't play the tour at all. Dennis Harbour's cut right back on the amount he plays. Wolfie didn't play much of the tour last year, but obviously he had his arthritis and stuff to contend with. But someone like Nigel Hayden, I think, is a perfect encapsulation of that. Obviously, Nigel's a former PDC Tour card holder, qualified for the PDC World Championship before. Nigel was one of the standout performers at Lakeside for me. He roared back against Jim Widmeyer, won 9 legs on the spin and looked really good. Richard Veenstra, that was a cracking game. My favourite game of the entire tournament, I think. That old Glenn against Jim. But it was a great game. And I remember tweeting at the time, I want to see Nigel play the BDO Tour, and he's not signed up for stuff. He's just playing for Warwickshire, but you see him play for Warwickshire and you guarantee he's going to average 90 every single time. And to be honest, county's enough for some of those players. They don't want to do more, as you said. That's enough for them. And you have to remember that darts as a career isn't the be-all and end-all for everyone. And that rhetoric kind of came out during Q School. You had so many people, a lot of them so-called pundits and journalists, calling people an idiot for not going to Q School. If Scott Mitchell wants to concentrate on his farm, which is a genuine livelihood, and a livelihood that has been in his family, and doesn't want to play darts professionally, why is he an idiot? That's a perfectly sensible, rational choice. Being a professional darts player is not the golden goose for everyone. And some people are happy just playing for their local pub team, or happy playing for their county. Some of them have the aspiration of playing for their country. Now, we've seen with England, we've talked, and I'm not going to get angry again. They don't know how they're going to play for their country. They might get there, they might not. But everybody has different aspirations, and we shouldn't be trying to expect everyone to want the same things. As people, if we all wanted the same things, we'd be very, very boring. But we all want different things. We all like different things, and we all kind of see ourselves in different ways. So the county is a great chance to see some players who, yeah, you won't see anywhere else during the year. And that's why the Gold Cup is such a great competition. You obviously, like, I know Gwent in Wales have already kind of had their qualifier for the Gold Cup, and Nick Kenny is one of those who's there. But there's also a couple of players that we never see in BDO competition, we never see on the TV. And I'd love to see the Gold Cup kind of back on the TV as it was in its heyday in the 80s. I'd love to see that competition because it's really good fun, and it'd be a good use of the BDO's relationship with Eurosport and Quest.
I was actually very impressed as well by the amount of loyalty that was shown from the BDO players who refused to go to Q School. There were so many that stuck with the BDO, especially the European lads as well. There was a lot of loyalty shown, even Glenn Durrant, who has now switched over to the PDC. But at every single opportunity, he thanks the BDO for what they've done for him, and he's so respectful of the BDO, and he says he always will be.
Glenn's a very classy... He's a classy individual. He's a lovely man. He's a proper gent. And I know he's someone you are close to. But yeah, you saw loyalty from the European lads. I know Dirk Telnick has said that before Lakeside that the European lads at Lakeside had dispensation to play in the UK Q School. To be honest, I think that was a load of rubbish. Because you didn't see any of them enter. And if that had been the case, there definitely would have been one or two that entered. And Dirk himself didn't go. There's been some tremendous loyalty. And I think everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the death of the BDO. Everyone's going to leave. Well, there's only so many tour cards. And there will always only be so many tour cards until Barry Hearn decides that he wants to make even more money and give more and more people tour cards. But no, you've seen tremendous loyalty. And I have to say, someone I've got a lot of time for... I have got a lot of time for Andy Hamilton and Wes Newton, who went to Lakeside in January, did not go as planned for either of them. They both went out in preliminary round. Neither of them played very well at all. But Andy Hamilton is entered in Scotland, is entered at the Isle of Man, and clearly intends to do the BDO Tour alongside the Challenge Tour, which is good. The more the merrier, and the stronger the field, the better.
Yeah, and a quick word before we do go on to the final call. How would you see the Scottish Open going this weekend? Could you boldly predict who you think will win the tournament, the men's and the ladies?
You can't do that to me and ask me to make predictions on the spot. I mean, Where was that? Where was that in the plan? Who am I going to pick to win? The obvious pick would be Richard Veenstra, given his success at the Dutch Open. But I'm not going to go for the obvious pick, because I like to think of myself as a man who thinks outside the box. So I'm going to go for the only person ranked above Richard in the BDO rankings and say Jim Williams. It's going to be Jim's first tournament back on the BDO Tour after Lakeside and the heartbreak of Q School, where he seemed safe after day two and then didn't get any more points. I think Jim will come back, and I think he's got a point to prove. So I think for me, I think the Quiff is going to take it. But I'd also wouldn't be shocked to see Veenstra have a good run. I expect Scott Mitchell to have a good run. A couple of the Scottish lads I mentioned from Greenock, I think they'll probably do quite well. Andy Hamilton, I think, might well have a good run. He's going to be a top seed, and I mean, I think Andy's definitely, I think people who follow him on Twitter or whatever have seen he's been going through some tough times personally in the last month or so. Well, last couple of years, really, but it's been quite hard for him the last month. I know he tweeted some stuff that he was really struggling. And I think Andy did quite well at Q School, did really well in the first Challenge Tour weekend. He's playing in the Players' Championships this weekend, which will kind of be taking place by the time we get this out. I think Andy will probably have a good run, but if you're asking me on the spot to pick someone, which is it's an awful thing to do to a man, I will say Jim Williams for the men, and for the ladies, Lorraine Winstanley, because she's won it three times before. She loves it up there, so I think Lorraine probably, but I'm probably going to get both of them wrong and look like a plank, but yeah.
It is a tough one, Andrew, because there's so many good players on show at the Scottish Open. I do fancy Dave Paletti to have another good run. I'm not going to say he's going to go on to win the tournament. I'm surprised that Mikhail Unser-Buchner's not in the entry list.
Yeah, I guess so. Mikhail does play an awful lot of the tour, but again, he'll probably play most of the Central European events and maybe not as many of the UK ones. Not all of the Dutch players are coming over either. I know Veenstra and Harms are. I know Chris Landman is. But I know you say that Mikhail not being on there is interesting. Carl McKinstry's not on there either, which I thought was an interesting one. Because Kyle's Q School really didn't go to plan either. I was shocked that he wasn't there. But yeah, still a very good tournament. And if you're going to make me pick, I'll say Jim Williams.
I think I'm going to go with Wesley Harms to win the men's competition and Fallon Sherrick to win the ladies.
Well, at least we differ. Then there's a better chance that one of us is right.
That'd be boring picking the same, wouldn't it?
Very true, very true.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the latest edition of Inside the BDO, the podcast. I've been Tom Beresford, and thank you to my co-host, as always, Andrew.
It's a pleasure, mate, as always. Make sure you follow us at Inside the BDO. You can follow me at AM Sinclair 97, and you can follow Tom at Tom Sports Journal.